Welcome to The Rework with Allison Tyler Jones, a podcast dedicated to inspiring portrait photographers to uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell their best work. Allison has been doing just that for the last 15 years, and she's proven that it's possible to create unforgettable art and run a portrait business that supports your family and your dreams. All it takes is a little rework. Episodes will include interviews with experts from in and outside of the photo industry, mini workshops, and behind-the-scenes secrets that Allison uses in her portrait studio every single day. She will challenge your thinking and inspire your confidence to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business you love through continually refining and reworking your business. Let's do the rework.
Have you ever heard the expression, don't let the door hit your bum on the way out? Okay, that probably sounds really weird, but we are this close to closing the doors on our Cash to Confidence Bootcamp, and I don't want you to miss out. Honestly, I think your bum's probably starting to hurt because of all the fence sitting that you're doing. But for real, if you're sitting there walking your dog on the treadmill, trying to decide on whether or not to fork over a measly $47 for a game-changing week with us, or if you're all up in your head thinking, how can I charge more, make more money in this business when my work isn't as good as I want it to be, and I don't know where to find great clients, and know this, you don't have to have it all figured out in order to get started. In fact, that's the whole idea of the Confidence to Cash Bootcamp. Throughout our week together, I'm going to walk you through expanding your vision of what's possible for you, laying the foundation for rock solid confidence in the value that you bring, crafting a clear message that will attract the right, best clients for your business, mapping out your money that you want to make and how to get there, and creating a step-by-step ideal sale that will have your clients digging for their credit card. And yes, you'll be able to do this, even if your name isn't Annie Leibovitz and you haven't won a single image competition. Get off your cute little bum and go to dotherework.com/bootcamp. Get the details, sign up, and I'll see you there. Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Rework. Gregory Daniel is back in the Rework podcast studio, and let me tell you, he has got a new soapbox that he's up on, and I am here for it. I honestly feel like Greg missed his calling. He should have actually been a philosopher. Actually, he is a philosopher. He's a photographer philosopher, and I'm here for it. He's my brother from another mother. We love to dig into the philosophy behind why people in this industry are doing what they're doing, why we are doing what we're doing, and how we've come to those decisions. So what started as a pricing conversation went deep into some philosophy behind how we talk about our work, what we're really selling, how huge sea changes in the industry cratered many businesses and not others. Some were able to weather the storm. And as we all know, nothing stays the same. Everything changes. And of course, we know that there's more change ahead. So how can you structure your business or philosophize about your business so that you don't miss a beat? How can you make sure that you're structuring your business to be a sustainable business model? Well, it's all going to start with your mindset. It's all going to start with the product that you're going to build and the price that you'd like to have every time you do the sale. Greg's going to offer advice about how to get there, how to start dreaming, how to have creative discipline, a creative exercise that you can do to help you make the change that you've always dreamed of so that you can actually see your way forward instead of being tossed about by the winds of fortune and change in the world. We even go down a ChatGPT rabbit hole and ask ChatGPT what photographers should be charging for a 16 by 20. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. It was a great conversation, wide-ranging as always, and full of great inspiration and value as always from the one and only Gregory Daniel. Let's do it. What's your soapbox? I can't wait to hear.
You pushed my button. You said you want to know why it was so scary when pricing our own work. Why is it so scary when you price your own work? And you know when to push a button. And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking your whole family because you know exactly the buttons that push me, get me going. And I head on a rant.
I love it. I love it. So, yes. So feel free. It's funny because that last topic, that hit a nerve big time. That hit a nerve big time. Like I got DMs. Okay. I have been doing it wrong. He's exactly right. I never thought about it this way before. You know, when you were talking about doing the experience without a product is just like the souvenir. So
the commemorative portrait at the end of the raffle. Yeah. It didn't go over well or did it?
No, so well. Like everybody loved it. Are you kidding me? It was like one of the most downloaded episodes. And I don't think of you as like a controversial person. Like you're not one that's just going to poke the bear just to poke the bear. Uh-huh. But I think speak truth to power, man. It's the truth. And I think for so many portrait photographers, especially, I think we're nice people. We love people and we want to give and we want to just layer in all the sexy frames and the painting and the love and the candy and the treats and packaging. And like, we want it to be, so we don't have any problem adding to the list of things that we're going to bring into to our clients. We have no problem adding value, but man, when it comes to asking for the money or insisting that somebody buy a product, that's hard.
Yeah. I think you wanted to talk about that, how, why it was so scary for, you know, pressure on work. And I've thought way too long about this and spent a lot of time in my brain going, why is that? Why is our industry so different? What is so different that we can't figure out how to price things and what is the value is, what it's worth? And you hear, well, you know, X times this, X times that, look at how much your product costs are and multiply it and all of that. And that's driving me crazy. Why? I think it revolves around change, the word change. Really that change meaning when in our industry, when we get into our industry, most of us get in because we love photography, right? We love what we do and we are doing it for free. Yep. Right. So you got to, at some point, that ladder on that wall, if you want it to be a business, you have to flip the ladder on a different wall.
Yeah.
And wall.
Yeah. From the hobby wall to a business wall.
Hobby wall to the business wall. And so that's just change. I mean, that's just natural change is inherently difficult for us to do, right?
I mean, right. And that makes me think that most doctors don't get into it as a hobby, but I do think there are some doctors that have a hard time charging.
Yeah. But they
work, because they love to heal and they want to help people and somebody might not be able to afford it or whatever. So you got to get like an HR business office manager. That's like a battle axe. That's going to be put in front of you and like, no, you know, you got to pay to play.
So if that ladder's on that wall and you got to move it, now you're dealing with change, which now you're dealing with natural fear, right? Yeah. Change is fear. And so the whole thing that revolves around the fear is how do you overcome fear?
And well, what's behind the fear?
Yeah. So what's behind the fear? I think you can overcome fear, right? You can overcome fear and do change management. There's a whole series of how to do the change and how to manage that change and get from one point A to point B. So that's the good news. You know, the good news is that you can do this and you can start charging and you can get over that fear, like that fear jump. So that's the good news. The bad news is where my rant comes in is that I believe our industry business model is rigged. I just think it's rigged. I think it's set up for failure on just the whole business model, how it is and how it exists. And
say
how
more.
We
do. Say more about that. What do you mean? What do you mean the business model is rigged?
Well, for one, to circle back around, my whole goal today is to try to get you to raise your hands up in the air a couple of times, because I like that when you do that.
Okay. I'm going, you're going to have to convince me.
Okay. I think it's rigged because I think what happened, there was this huge mess up when we had to transitional from negative to digital.
Okay.
There was this transition disaster that happened when we made that transition, and it wiped out the product. In between, it wiped out the product. And then I think when it started wiping out the product, it started wiping out all of these businesses. So there was this huge shift of the whole business model from having a product, and they all kind of went away, to not having a product. And they're all in here, and they're all starting to teach and tell people how to do things, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the new influencers, so I was raised back over here on these influencers, there's a whole new influence world. And I think the new influencer world got it wrong. I think they got it wrong. And that's why I had that rant the other time about it turned into an experience, not a product. Because the absence of a product, now you, what are you going to sell? Right? Right. So if your industry is absent of the product, because digital really isn't a product, right? It's right. Not a, like the same thing as negative. So let me say it this way, that I believe digital, from a perspective standpoint, from me and my perspective standpoint, digital was just a different tool. It's not a product. A negative right. was a tool.
Yeah.
And so is a digital. Just like microwaves, when the microwave oven came out, it's a tool. It doesn't replace anything. It's just a different tool to achieve a product, to create a product, to become a product. And I think what we've done is we've turned this tool into a pseudo product, and it's not. It just erased the product.
Yeah, well, and we erased, I think, 3/4 of the whole process too. Like, okay, so let me back up for a second, because I want to go down a tiny rabbit hole with you on this, because I 100% agree with you, have mm-hmm. thoughts. But why do you think it wiped out all those businesses? That is interesting to me. What happened to them? Why aren't they still around?
Well, there was this shift that they had to technically shift from film, basically, to digital. I mean, they were basically forced to shift. And so most of them didn't want to make transition. So they stopped, right? Gave them the excuse to stop. Because back, circle back around to our initial discussion, which is, why is it so scary? Well, it's change, right? Change yeah. is fear. So a lot of the folks aren't going to make the change. They're just not going to deal with the fear and the change of what the future is going to bring. So they stop. They don't want to make that transition. So now we get flooded in the market with all of these folks that are making the change, but they're basically not even making the change. They're starting in the digital world, right? So they're starting with that as their thing, and they don't know anything about sales and products, or products and sales.
Right. And so I think going back to, I'm just going to call them the old guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not casting aspersions, but I think we can all kind of get in our head the Hawaiian shirt.
Sure.
Former electrical engineer that's got more camera gear than you've ever seen in your life, and that was doing business a certain way.
Right.
And then here comes digital. Not only digital, a ton of women.
Sure.
And much looser shooting style, much more candid, much more photojournalistic. And a lot of those guys were like, they started out like, well, their lighting's crap. Those are just snapshots. They're like kind of dismissing the whole thing like it wasn't really going to go anywhere, but then watching the whole thing like, so I think that the change wasn't just digital. It was also the style and how those moms with the camera, you know, women were working with the clients in a different way. So it was like a sea change in so many areas, not just the camera, the medium, but also the style. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. But I would agree the foundation of the change, that weren't for digital, yeah. there would have been a change of that as well, but it would have been in a different manner and a different way. And it was already happening. It was already happening with Sarah Smith and some of the others prior to that, right? Mm-hmm. So they were like the creators of the boutique kind of studio mm-hmm. experience back before digital. Mm-hmm. So the wave was already starting and would have implemented its way in through the system, but the digital revolution changed everything really, really, really fast. And so you hit the disaster moment. It all came together as a disaster moment. And people ran into the fear wall.
Right. And really went, I think, into this like resistant, rather than like, okay, hold on. How could we make this work? we're convinced of product. We're never going to not do product. But how could we maybe evolve our style, maybe evolve our branding, maybe evolve, like, look at the things that were attracting other clients? Because I think a lot of those guys looked at it and thought, well, it's just because these girls are all married to attorneys. They don't have to work. They're giving it away. They're just doing digital files and they're ruining the industry.
I would agree with you, but I think of it as a transition plan, right? That there needed to be a transition plan to get from point A to point B. We all agree that there is a future state, right? And we'd probably, without whether digital on the foundation happened or not, there was going to be a future state. There always is a future state and a transition and getting from point A to point B.
Yes.
I think what digital did is it disrupted the transition. And so there was no dovetail. So the bad that you're kind of talking about, the negatives or the cons, there were positives and pros within the foundational principles of sales, marketing, and product. Mm-hmm. Okay, whether you like the branding of it, the foundations of it are age old. And what happened, it didn't come across, it was like a barrier split because of that transition issue. And now you ended up throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
Right? So now they didn't get those pieces. And as they're trying to develop these pieces, they're trying to do it based on a thing only foundation of digital, which that foundation is a unsustainable business model.
Right.
It's just unsustainable as many ways as you hit it. Because if they've tried to deal with it in many, many different angles, right, since it started, from shoot and burn to all the different transitions that it went into, the problem is they never dovetailed in all of the good that came from what is viewed as all of the bad, right? It was all just balled up and said, throw that away. And then,
right.
Now they're trying.
Right, because I feel like everybody went into two camps, right? So the younger women that came in that wanted to shoot in a looser style and wanted to, you know, maybe weren't really starting as a business to start with, but they were looking at these other guys, like maybe you'd go to like a PPA affiliate meeting or whatever. And there's these guys, it's like there were two camps very much. And these guys were over here like rah, 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 not really mentoring and helping. Like, you guys, you could be doing better if you would do product, because here's why. And then these other girls are like, oh, well, that's great. I mean, we made $500. You know, they're not realizing like, oh, this could be better. You're not doing three quarters of the job if all you're doing is giving them digital files. So I feel like that kind of split into two camps, and they weren't necessarily really helping each other at that point.
There was no transition.
Yeah.
There was none of that future state and current state, that transition plan that went together.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, it's that, because I'm on both camps, right?
You're on both camps. Exactly.
I've seen both worlds and been through both worlds. So I think of it like, you know, why did it fail? Why did that transition not fail? Why didn't it take place appropriately? Why did all that foundational good stuff not come over to the other side? And I think it's another kind of a social thing that happened. Let me give you this crazy story here. This is going to make sense in a minute.
It's making sense now, dude. I'm ready. I'm here for a story. Let's go.
So years ago, we were going to a basketball game. And so we were waiting for my brother-in-law to come from Tampa. And we're standing up in the old arena. There were doors all the way around the arena. So you could come in at any place. And there's just 50 doors that you could enter all the way around. And all of them are open and you could come in any one of them. And you have to go up these stairs. And stairs were all the way around. So you had your choice coming in from the parking lot. You could come up and go in any door that you wanted to. And Lisa and I are up at the top, and we're talking to one of the security guys, and we're just chatting with him, just chatting it all up. And he said, you want to see something interesting? Sure. He says, you see this group of people, this wave, this huge group of people that's coming into from the parking lot? He says, I can make one comment to a guy down there, to make a comment to the leader person and tell that person to walk all the way down past all the doors and go to the indoor and go in it. And he said, that entire group of people will wave like minnows and go all the way down to the end and go up in that door. And he did it. And they did it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They could have gone in any door, and they were just following the mob. They were just, it was like a herd mentality of movement, the bandwagon effect, the groupthink effect, that you just kind of move with everyone. And I think what's happened is that I see these influencers that came in to the new market without any thought of, let's throw all this out. I'm smart enough to create this thing from scratch. I can do all this by myself. I can invent this thing that looks cool and fun. And now all these people that are coming into that market, you know, from the parking lot, right? So they're coming into the parking lot and they're following this particular influencer or influencers that have this convinced thing. This is the way to go.
Yeah.
I think they got it wrong. I think they got it wrong from saying digital is a product when digital is a microwave.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a tool.
To get to the product. If we did that at the beginning, if digital was a tool and product, I go, well, why? And I think to myself, well, why did I not suffer the consequence from that whole event happening? Why did we never miss a beat? Why did we stay current and on top? And why did our sales even grow over all of those years? What was it? Why did I not have that problem? And I really believe it was because my whole world from the 90s, when we started the mixed media, when we helped usher that into the industry, when we did that, I shifted to the artist gallery world. I shifted to the artist gallery mindset. So when I stepped out of the mindset of photographer into portrait artist and into the artist gallery mindset, then I visited all these galleries. I visited all the, you know, sold to by all these different galleries. Tell me, I want to hear your language. I want to hear how this works. How do you sell mixed media? How do you do this? And just understand that, then we created a model and a business that was more art-minded, more art up here in a different level. It's a different business model. And it stayed. It was not impacted and, in fact, affected by the digital world, right? But interestingly enough, that art world used digital to create a whole new product called Embellished Reproductions. So you can imagine, Embellished Reproductions became a gigantic, big, huge product, bolstering the art community and bolstering artists and bolstering. So they used it as a microwave. They used the tool. They used properly.
Right, right. The art world didn't say, oh, you know what? Now that we have the scanners and Giclée printers, we can just want to print? Well, we got a printer in the back. So it costs us $30 to print it and we'll mark it up twice. So for $60, you can get, it's like, no.
No. Product out of it.
Yeah, only photographers do that to ourselves.
Right.
Not the gallery world.
So there's the foundation of my rant.
Okay, so put a pin in your rant for 1 second, because I think that's interesting because you came from both sides. You were the guy, not in a Hawaiian shirt, but in your NASA outfit. And now you're on the other side of that and you didn't miss a beat. So I came into the industry. I was a hobbyist before 2005. I came into the industry in 2005 and I had been a purchaser of portraits from a local photographer that I loved and admired and had photographing my children for years. And then I became the provider, right? So how I look at those two things is when I was purchasing it, the guy that I was purchasing it from, he ran a good business and he had product and I liked the way that he did it. But there were other portrait studios that had what I call the old school oversell. And so they would give you like the free 8x10 to get you in, take a bunch of pictures and then give you the whole, like, we're going to shred grandma if you don't buy it today. And I hated that. I hated that pressure. I hated that bait and switch. I was like a young mom. I didn't really get what they were doing. Like now I own a portrait studio. I understand what they were trying to do, but it was just like slimy and I hated it. So when I came in to the industry thinking I'm going to do this for 6 months in between businesses, right? I don't want to do that. And I don't want to deal with prints and I don't want to deal with ordering, having something come in wrong or whatever. I'm just going to give them digital files. And I did it for 30 days And I realized, oh my gosh, this is so much work to stay up and be retouching and fixing all those files. And I had a friend say to me, you're leaving so much money on the table and you're going to work yourself, like you'll burn out and you're not going to do this. So I realized that the new school was actually undersell, right? It was no sell at all. It was like, it was like, here's X number of files for X number of dollars.
Right.
And so then I realized, well, what do I really want my clients to have? Because what I love that's in my house and that's in my mom's house that I've inherited from her when she passed away is those physical artifacts, is that product. Like that's the hustle, right? That's the thing that is makes the difference and is worth having. So I think they both kind of did it wrong, but the ones that, like you're saying, had that artist mindset and really the idea of what is best for the client, what's the highest and best use of my talent and how we get there, like what the negative is, whether it's on silver gelatin, whatever, celluloid, or whether it's in ones and O's on a hard drive, that doesn't matter. It's where you want that to end up.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So take the pin out of your rant and let's go.
Okay.
So pricing. So now we realize the baby got thrown out with the bathwater with the new school.
Right.
Some of the old school made change and came along. We could probably put you into that category. And some of the new school that came in like me, mom with the camera, decided pretty quick, you're not going to be able to support a family doing it like this. So.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, obviously, what you described was an unsustainable business model, right? That's why you made the change. But unfortunately, so many folks, again, because of that change word that came in, they're gone.
Yeah.
Right? But tons and tons of them that came in when the digital revolution happened, they're disappeared too because it's an unsustainable business model.
Exactly.
They're just
it's a churn.
It's a churn because now it's a different one, and now it's a different one, and now it's a different one. It's just tweaks of something very similar, but foundationally, it still is an unsustainable business model, right? So with that said, and you're talking about, now we're talking about having more of a product, and like what I speak to, which is if you're in an artist gallery, you're looking at product, right? If that whole business model, you're looking at product. You're looking at one product, basically. One price, one brand, one voice. So I think what we talked about last time, we can't remember exactly what we talked about last time, but it was having one thing, right? Dreaming and creating that one thing. And what is that one thing? What's your milk, right? What is that thing that you're going to have? And that's kind of like the mindset of the artist gallery. So when you think in terms of that mindset, shifting to the mindset, that's why I keep pushing it that way. Then all of a sudden pricing becomes different. When you think about pricing from that perspective, from an artist gallery perspective, your pricing becomes a complete different animal in how you price and the thought process of pricing and the value of the product becomes very different than if you're in the photography world and you're thinking about how do photographers price.
Right.
Even if you went in and Googled away, or you go to Claude or ChatGPT or whatever, you go, what is, say, I challenge you, just go in there and just say,
I've done it.
Okay, what is a photographer's 16 by 20 average? And then,
Hold on. I'm going to do it right while we're here. Hold on. I'm literally going to do it right now. Okay, I've got ChatGPT. Let me start a new one. Okay.
Just ask, what is a photographer's price for what's a good price for a 16 by 20?
Okay. What is a good price for a portrait?
No, just a photographer.
I have to say photographer.
Photographer, 16 by 20 canvas.
16 by 20. Is it framed?
No, just say 16 by 20 canvas, because that's what somebody would say.
Right. Canvas print. Okay. Well, what is a good price for a portrait photographer, 16 by 20 canvas print, enter.
Yes, and it's probably $100 to $300.
Oh, you're going to die. Okay. Pricing a 16 by 20 canvas print can vary depending on several factors, including, and here's, this is such crap, the photographer's experience, market location, and quality of materials used, all largely irrelevant in my opinion. Here are some general guidelines. Entry-level photographers, price range $75 to $150. These photographers might be newer to the industry or building their portfolio. Mid-level photographers, price range $150 to $300. These photographers have more experience and a solid portfolio. High-end photographers, price range $300 to $600 plus. At least they gave us the plus. These photographers are well-established, have a strong reputation, and often provide a more personalized experience and premium products. So the considerations for product pricing, I'm not going to go into it, but it's like cost of goods sold, time and expertise, market research, brand positioning, client base, example breakdown.
Okay, so just think about that for a moment. What you just said is the foundational, what AI, I mean, what they think, right? What the world would think.
Yeah.
Now go in and ask for an artist.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
An artist. But how much does an artist get a 16 by 20 canvas? Change it from photographer to artist.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do it. Here we go. What is a good price for a portrait painter? Portrait artist. I'm just going to say portrait artist. I'm not even going to put photographer in there. Portrait artist, 16 by 20.
Canvas.
Okay, here we go.
I guarantee you it is significantly larger.
Yep. So it's saying, I won't read the whole thing, but it's like several factors depending on experience, reputation, location, level of detail and customization, emerging 1 to 300, mid-career 3 to 1,000, established artists 1 to 5,000, special considerations, the level of detail, market factors. So already just taking photographer out of it, which is so sad.
Yes. So foundationally, where do you want to start? Foundationally, you just got a gigantic raise if you're considered an artist, right?
Right.
It's a mindset. It's just changing the mindset. Where do you want to pivot from? Do you want to pivot from the mindset over here where you're maxed out at this mentally mindset? You're pushing against a wave, right? You go over here and you work in this other world. The mindset is different. The thought process is different. The verbiage is different. Everything is different.
Yeah. But you have to take that on. Because when I look at that first prompt, it's like the things that vary, you know, according to ChatGPT, is the photographer's experience and quality of materials used. Like those are the two things that's like irrelevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much experience you have if you're good at what you do. And then, it's crazy.
So, just thinking from the mindset, I think that's way more important and probably foundational to feeling comfortable in deciding what your price should be for whatever you do, whatever you want. What is that product going to be in that one thing? If you're thinking from a mindset, it's easier to think that way when you're thinking about the product that you're going to build. What is that thing you're going to build and you want to be known for? And then create a price that you believe you would like to have every time you do the sale. Now we're just dealing with one price, one product, and now we can build a brand around it. Now we can build a voice around it. Now we can make easy marketing around it. It's very easy to communicate to somebody what it is and what you do and who you are and what you're about, because you're from a mindset of a whole different language, a whole different verbiage, a whole different world. And it's so much easier to explain and market and come across. It's just lighter, easier. The value then makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So when you say one product, because I know I can feel our listeners in the back of my, I get my spidey senses are tingling. You mean you only have one product? You're only selling one thing?
I would say you would be better off. This is... Flip them all out, okay?
Because I know you don't only sell one thing, Greg Daniel.
I understand that, but you would be better off to start off dreaming about one thing and building a price list around one thing and put on your blank price list one thing and put a price on that price list of that one thing and make marketing material from that one thing. It's training wheels. Get the one thing. You get the one thing down. You can build your whole business around the one thing. And then whatever that one thing is that you would love to create every single day that you get up, when you don't have to do it for money anymore, you would still do it. It is where I am. It is what I do. It is everything that I do. So it becomes part of who you are.
So that's a good creative exercise to
put
yourself in a room somewhere with a pad of paper and a pen and no smartphone. And just start listing, like, what if you had to strip it back Because I think most of our listeners have businesses, like they actually are serving clients. So they have businesses, but they may not be doing exactly what they want to be doing. Like some still have school contracts. So they're still doing weddings. They're hanging on to the horse, or they're hanging on to the mule till the horse comes in. And you know what I mean? They think, oh, I can't let this go, but I really don't. I hate schools. I don't want to do weddings anymore, but I can't only do families because you couldn't possibly make money doing that. They're afraid to let it go. So, or they've let client request creep happen. Oh, you'll pay me to show up with the camera to do that. I don't want to do that, but you'll pay me. So they've let the clients kind of determine what the product line is. You see that?
Okay. So this is how I would say. Well, okay. One is I would get off to maybe a cabin in the woods and have it off the grid, kind of retreat.
We know somebody who has one of those. Yes.
So I would say this, you'll never make a change unless you dream first. Unless you give yourself permission to dream first. If you don't give yourself permission to set a dream out there, you'll never dream it. You'll never see it.
Totally agree.
If I gave myself permission to make a change, we were known nationally as one of the top wedding photographers in the country, on the top of our game, on the top of our market. And it became unsustainable for us to have that business model of a wedding market, even though we were that at the very top. We gave ourselves permission to change because it was unsustainable for our family and because we put them first. We put our family first. And because we were having to fly and do all these things, it was like, no, this is not a good business model for us. We need to change. So I gave myself permission to see something different. If I hadn't given myself permission to dream, I don't think I would have ever walked into that gallery in San Francisco and would have actually noticed a business model that I think we were able to dream about, that we were able to create at that moment. And we were light years from that business model at that moment, but I dreamt it at that moment. And I put it out here as a future state that that's where I was going to go. And then I would get there.
I want to call out to that. So if you're on a treadmill and you were kind of half listening or not really, or you're retouching and you're half listening, that is absolutely the core. I think if you take nothing else away from today, you know, it's not the seeing is believing, it's believing is seeing. You cannot see what you haven't ever dreamt about. So it's just exactly like what you said. You would have walked right past it and been like, oh, cute ballerina portraits, whatever. It would never have entered your mind. But once you start down the road, it doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow. Doesn't mean you have to like cash in, throw away all your weddings tomorrow. I'm sure that was a process for you that you had to phase that out and phase something else in. But just allowing yourself to believe. I feel like so many people are so locked in fear that it can only be this way, that this will not work for me in my town, or this won't work for me because I'm older, younger, like fill in the blank of why it won't. But if you sit for somewhere a minute and just say, if it could, what would it look like? And what would I want to do?
I think people don't realize in the decision tree to get from point A to point B, the first decision is to decide to give yourself permission to dream. Because if you don't make that step first, you'll never see anything else that can get you to the end state.
Yep.
You just won't see it. I mean, it's like looking, the other day I was looking for a clip on the bag to go on the chips. Okay, this is crazy, but I look in this drawer all the time and I know this is where the clip is for the bag of chips. I'm looking in the drawer, staring at the drawer. I mean, this happened like 2 days ago. I'm looking at the drawer and I don't see the clip. But I think to myself, I'm staring at the drawer, a clothespin will also work. And I think there's clothespins in this drawer. And instantaneously, right there in front of me is a clothespin. It was staring at me right in the face going, hey, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And I didn't give it permission until I gave it permission to let me see the clothespin. I couldn't see the clothespin.
Well, you're also male and you guys don't see very good anyway. So there, you are kind of like that. The Y chromosome does limit your vision, but let's not go there. But yes. And also my other question to that is that does Lisa let you eat chips? I thought she didn't allow that.
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Cause I'm like, now do we need to bleep that part out so that Lisa doesn't hear it? Because you're going to get in trouble. Your blood is not going to be like the mountain stream running freely clear if you are eating chips, dude.
That's probably why I didn't notice the clip as much. But,
yes. You're poisoned by the chips and your Y chromosome. I love it.
Right. But yeah, permission is the key ingredient in any change. It's the way you get over fear. When you dream and you have a dream, it'll push through fear. It'll push through fear.
Yeah.
It'll let you get, because you'll do it. You'll go, I'll find a different way. I got to do it. I got to get to that
you're
other
obsessed.
End.
You're obsessed.
I'm so upset. And I was so obsessed to do it. And yes, it did take us a transition period. And we did come up with a transition plan. And we didn't drop it all the weddings at one time. It took us about 5 years. It about drove me crazy. But
really? Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. And I actually, for weddings, for me, I stood in a reception like December 21st, 2010, and it was raining outside. And I was like, I'll never do another wedding again. And it was like overnight. And I had to replace, I mean, my weddings weren't huge part of my, they were like about 60,000 a year part of my business. But I was like, I don't care. I hate this so bad. I mean, mainly it was the groom that I hated so bad, but I hated it so bad. I never wanted to do it again. And so I did have to figure out how to replace that overnight. I wouldn't recommend that, but so 5 years or 5 minutes, take your pick. Okay. So giving yourself permission to dream. I just think that is so good, because I feel like if I don't have time in the year, in any given year, to sit back and kind of let myself dream about the next thing or what something that I'm excited about, then even like when I travel and do things that will give me inspiration, I won't see those things. But if I do, if I've taken the time to dream and think about those things, I see it in retail. I see it in whatever hotel I'm staying in. I see it in any magazine that I open. It's just coming at me from all angles, Instagram feeds from different businesses, you know, weird places. Packaging from fashion houses or whatever. Yeah. The inspiration can come. Okay. So any other soapboxy pricing things?
Well, just you were mentioning, you know, about a frame before, because I see this quite often where they go, well, that doesn't include a frame. Well, no, it doesn't include a frame. It's a different product. It's a product that you can put on this product, but it's adorning the product. But that product can range drastically. Some of our frames, they're thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So these handmade frames, they have a choice between, you know, what would you like? What type of frame do you want? It's like an interior designer, right? Would say, oh yeah, the sofa comes with the rug. What? It doesn't. That's not come with the rug. You know, just get it with the rug, right? They are two separate products, even though you probably need both of them at the same time. And so that's a separate product. But I'm saying to start off with this one product, that one piece, not the kitchen sink, but that product that you want to be able to create and want to be able to build, and then work from there. And then once you've come up with that price and the brand and the voice and all of that, now you can pivot, but you're pivoting from a different place. You're pivoting from a mindset of an artist. You're pivoting from the mindset of that product. And now everything starts to make sense. So if you build a different product, it needs to be in the same family of making sense with this, who you are and what it is and how does it relate to that product? How is it part of it? Because this basically becomes the parent, this product. So everything else becomes relational with it, but that main product is the product of your voice. So any other product that you build and you create and you make cannot overcome and overshadow the product, your main product of who you are and what you're about. So it'd be like that main gallery I walked into, and it's this painter that does all these incredible ballerinas, realistic ballerinas, and they're all like 45-inch pieces, and they're just gorgeous.
Right.
That's the thing. That's the product, right? That's the thing. But what if their flyer only had on it books from this painter?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you took home on the flyer. The flyer was about his books and how much the books you could get and how much, what a deal the book was. Or what if it was about the postcards that were sitting on there, the gift cards that you could buy, little gift notes, right? Because that's in an artist gallery, gift notes from that same artist. And let's say that's all they advertise. That's it's all on the flyer. That's how they marketed. They marketed the gallery with those postcards, right? Mm-hmm. That's not how they're going to do that. They're not going to market the gallery postcards. They're going to market the gallery.
Right.
This person does and what they're known for. And when you Google them, you're not going to get postcards.
Right.
You get this thing that they create and that they show and that they are and who they are and what's spotlit. And when you walk in, you go, what? That's it. You
right.
That thing. It's that brand. It's that voice. So,
well, it makes me think of like Hermes handbags, right? So what they're famous for is that Kelly bag, right? Or the Birkin that you have to get on a waiting list and it's $50,000 and you can't even buy it. And you walk in and they tell you to get out or whatever. But it's, you could probably get like an Hermes keychain or a belt. You can get buy an Hermes. I see a lot of people wearing the Hermes belt. You can get the smaller things, but that the mystique is not around the smaller things. Those are just to allow somebody to get a piece, feel like they have a piece of the mystique and a piece of the brand. But the main thing is the main thing.
Yeah. Tiffany's does it with the chains and the bracelets, right? The charms on the bracelets. You can go, but where are those charms and the bracelets? You walk in past the guard, you walk in past all the incredible rings and the thing, and you go all the way to the back and you think someday, and then you get the charm, right? And then you walk back through the whole scene and then you get someday.
The vision is, And I think a lot of it, I call, for me and my employees, I call it like painting the vision. It's like letting, we have to dream, but we have to let our clients dream too.
Right.
We have to paint that vision. And so when you don't have that vision, when you're in this mode of, okay, I'm selling 8x10s and 5x7s, you can't even paint a vision for your client.
No, because you can't dream. If you didn't dream this end state, you'll never get there for one. And another thing is, if you're just incrementally trying to make a change within a business that's basically, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, what I'm calling an unsustainable business model with, I'm talking generalities now, right? It's not that all of them are unsustainable. It's that in just in general, it's unsustainable. Tweaking an unsustainable business model is hardly ever going to work.
Yeah, right? It requires like scrape and start over.
I call it erase the board, right? Yeah. If you can't erase the board to dream, then it's just tweaking something that is just making minimal adjustments and is going to make minimal results, right? It's going to bring...
Well, because the foundation that it's built on is completely different.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's why I talk about mind shifting over into a different world. Erasing the board and mind shifting, starting from your brain with a whole different thought process of how this other world could exist. And it does. There's an example out there that does exist that you can go look at and understand. And I keep leaning on artist gallery business models, but you talked about business models in big business way with the jewelry and the handbags and all that. Those business models operate the same way.
Absolutely.
All you have to do is get out of this world and go into the big business world that pays billions of dollars in market research to figure out how all this works, because they've got it figured out. Because if you go into all these different really successful brands, their business models are the same.
Right.
They work very similar. And it's for a reason that they work similar. These really successful galleries work the same. They work in that same level and they're sustainable.
Well, and I think there are other, sometimes it's hard, it's difficult to compare yourself to those bigger industries, but even looking at other creative professionals, like you can look at interior designers, for example, you can look at, there are nice little girls that are going to come over and bring you 55,000 swatches and sit there and paw through a bunch of different things and help you pick out a sofa. But you want to talk about an unsustainable business model, that's one, right? Whereas like my sister that runs an interior design studio, she's not picking out anything until you've defined a scope of work for a house. So she's not working on speculative, like, let me come in here and design your entire house. I'll give you three options in every room and then you can pick which one you like. No, that's not how it works. But yet we're doing that all day long. Let me come in here and jolly your three-year-old along and make your husband who's ticked that he isn't happy and has to come here, make him happy and make your 14-year-old look good and make your pimply 13-year-old girl who's got a little extra weight, make her look great. And then you decide whether you want this or not. Like, we're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And if you look at swinging back to the artist gallery mindset, a painter is going to get commissioned, right?
Yep.
And artists will be commissioned to do the work. And so we've been commissioned artists, portrait artists, for a very long time, because that was part of the mindset. That was part of that world and being able to operate that way. So
right.
Commission's been in our vocabulary for a very long time. And just like your sister, incredibly successful, by the way, it's stunning work that she does. Yeah, that sets her apart from the other type of business model that actually exists in the interior design world, right?
Yeah, so, graphic designers. Yeah, well, there's a lot that are just, they're too scared, or they're, like you said, they're not able to dream. They just think, okay, this is the only way that we're, they're in the stadium and they're looking at somebody walking down, walking 50 yards to that door at the way far end, when there's a door right here, right close, right there. They can get them where they need to go. That's actually less clients, way more fun, way more interesting, but let's follow them because somehow they have 50,000 followers on Instagram. I don't know why we're following them.
So I led with the whole, I think the influencer world got it wrong.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the foundational digital, during the digital tidal wave.
Well, and you know what? They could have gotten it right for themselves, from themselves and what they wanted to get out of it, because maybe all they wanted was an online presence and they're getting paid a different way or whatever. It could work for them, but you don't ever really know what's behind somebody else's decisions, but you have to know. Well, you don't have to. You can be blind and be following somebody down 50 yards to the 25th door. You don't actually have to know. But I would suggest it might be a good idea, if it's the life that you're living, that you know what's behind it and that you have it clear in your mind of like, actually, I'm excited to get up every day. I'm excited the clients that I'm working with. I'm excited by, like you said, I would do this even if I wasn't getting paid to do it, because there's so much meaning and happiness in it. But it actually makes me happier if I'm getting paid to do it.
Yes.
Because there's meaning in that. Because to me, when you sell a big piece, like I think of the one on your website that's, I don't know, 9 feet, 10 feet, whatever, above that fireplace, when somebody exchanges their value for your value in that way, it's just a virtuous upward cycle of like, I'm going to kill myself for them. Mm-hmm. If I have to print this 17 times until it's perfect, that's what I'm going to do. Like, it's going to be perfection. You don't have that negative when you've priced it wrong, that little voice in the back of your head going, listen, what do they expect for $20 on an 8x10? I'm not retouching her boobs. You know, and we've all had those feelings like, oh, somebody's being demanding with me, but what do they expect? They're not paying that much. Well, they're paying, so they have an expectation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Okay. So sum it up. So the challenge is, if somebody's feeling stuck, they maybe aren't where they want to be anymore. Maybe they've lost their way. Maybe they aren't feeling the love anymore, but they want to revamp. What is your suggestion?
I'm going to answer this in a very roundabout way. So as our girls, putting them to bed every night and giving them permission to dream, I would just echo that to them, that I said, baby, you guys, you can do anything that you want. You can be anything that you want. I'm here to support you. And I want you someday to dream of a way that you can live a life and do business in a life that you can live your life through your work, through your creations, through whatever you do. That whatever you build, I want you to be able to build it where you can live in it. I would love for that to be successful for you, is to be able to create a world where you can create something, live in it, and people will want to share it with you as you do it. So I feel like we've created a life that we live in, right? We live, work, and I don't even like to use the word work. I live and create in this life.
There you go.
It all supports itself. It's all integrated within. It's not separated. And I don't want to ever feel like I have a job and I got to go to work and then I come home and then I've worked to be able to have time to be able to do this. You can. And I just instilled that in our girls, and they built their worlds like that. And they're so grateful that they're able to have lives where they live and create in the same world that they live in. You know, it's all integrated together, and they're happy, and we're happy, and we're happy as a family and as an entire family. And I say that is the end goal for us. And That's what I would recommend for others. And then the other thing that layers on top of it all, and if you ever heard me give a program, I start and end with the whole breathing life into others, because it was done to me. That's the most important foundational thing, is to love one another, love each other, right? And to share that love and pour that love into someone else. And you have that opportunity every single day to be able to do that. It was done to me, and it's what's made me and who myself breathing that life into me. My photography teacher when I was 12 did that. And then also the gentleman that I photographed my very first time, who had nothing in the world to give. And he gave me everything when he told me I had to give.
Wow.
Just that breathing that life into somebody is everything. And we have that opportunity no matter where we are in our life.
Every client.
Business and every day. You can start that this second, this moment right now, doing that. And your life will be so much richer and so much better. And things will open up that you go, wow, I didn't have any idea that that could ever happen. That is so much more beautiful than what I would call when I would step back and try to answer the question. Here I'm circling back around. I'm kind of confused. I don't know where I am. I don't know my foundation. Things aren't really working out. What should I do? Where should I start? Start from this thing I just said. Start from that.
Yeah. What do you want your life to look like?
You can do that. And it's beautiful. And life is beautiful. People are beautiful.
Absolutely. And you have such a beautiful family. If you don't mind, I was going to ask if you'd send, there's a particular family picture, a recent one. I'd love to put on the show notes with this just so people can see your family, because I think it's just, you posted it on Instagram. So I want to put that in the show notes because I love that image.
Okay.
Last question, two like rapid fire questions and we're done. Rapid fire. Any great books that you've read recently that you want to share?
Yeah.
Podcasts or binge watch? So books, binge, or podcasts, any and all.
Podcasts. Well, you know, I listen to your podcasts often. Podcasts, Smartless is the podcast I listen to.
Who? Martless?
No, Smartless.
Smartless.
Yeah, but it's not a business one. It's just fun. It's just...
That's fine.
Books. It's really crazy what I'm doing right now. And I hate to even say this because you probably don't have access to all these books. I have access to all of these crazy business books that are just like pamphlets and things that I've just collected over the years. And occasionally I will just go up and I will grab one of those books or one of those pamphlets out and I'll just start reading it. And it's bizarre how amazingly current they are with their ideas and thoughts and the way that they see the world. And I mean,
the principles don't change.
As we speak, I mean, I'm like, How to Sell Quality by this J.C. Astley guy, which is this, people can't see it, but this, it's just a pamphlet from like 100 years ago that I got. And I mean, this foundational, the thoughts and the things in here are just spot on, perfect at the moment, you know, today. They're so useful.
So
principles are principles. They stick around and they apply. And they apply then and they certainly apply today. You know, and how, you know, The Art of Selling is a great book. So anyway, those are kind of books I like to have.
So The Art of Selling, do you know who that's by?
I don't.
Okay, I'll find it. I'll find it and send it to you and then we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So, and then are you allowed to watch TV? What are you watching? I think
we watch a lot of Hallmark.
Hallmark. I love it. The Hallmark channel. I love it. That tracks well.
That tracks well. Yeah,
we do. That tracks very well.
That's our staple, is to watch Hallmark.
I love it. Well, I appreciate it. I think you've created your own Hallmark movie. Left brain math guy turned artist with beautiful family and darling grandkids.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. And so does the industry. Industry appreciates you. There's not many like you. And a lot of people are so much better off because of the things that you share and that you give and that you give back to the industry more than anyone that I know. So it's so wonderful you're doing that. You're changing lives every day. And folks that come to our workshop are just that have been part of your toolage, part of your crew. They're changed. You changed their lives. And lady, that's important.
It is important. Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. I feel like, and I think you are very similar. I think we play a longer game.
Yeah.
We don't have a quick fix. It's not something that can be summed up in like 5 easy points to make $100,000 by the end of the year. You know, it's like, for me, the foundation is where the where the value lies, because when scary things happen, COVID or 2008 or whatever, to know that I have a core of loyal clients that have become friends. Talk about building a beautiful, meaningful life. Like that when they come in, I mean, yes, we're looking at their pictures, but we're also talking about, dude, what am I going to do with this 14-year-old? Or how do you deal with young adults? We're on a personal one-to-one level. Like that's as much a part of my product as the product itself, is that we're all like irrationally in love with our family and how that tracks. And so to build that foundation is the key, I think, to a sustainable, profitable business that will sustain you through good times and bad.
Absolutely.
And I know you have the same. You've been a good example to me for that. So thank you.
Always great to chat with you.
You too.
Thanks for being here today. I hope that you've learned something useful that you can take away and make your business better than ever. And if you have, we would love for you to share this episode with another photographer that you think it would help. If you have a minute and could give us a review on the podcast, it would mean the world. Sharing and reviewing the podcast helps us reach a wider audience, and we want to help as many portrait photographers as we can to build better and better businesses. Sharing and reviewing the podcast helps this podcast reach a wider audience, and we want to help as many photographers as we can to build their best business yet. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
You can find more great resources from Allison at dothereWork.com and on Instagram at do.the.rework.